Republicans and Democrats dominate the headlines as well as voter attention ahead of primary day. But Iowa libertarians are holding a gubernatorial primary of their own. We sit down with a pair of Iowa libertarian candidates on this special debate edition of Iowa Press.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation, the Associated General Contractors of Iowa, the public's partner in building Iowa's highway, bridge, and municipal utility infrastructure.
I'm a dad.
I am a mom.
I'm a kid.
I'm a kid at heart. I'm a banker.
I'm an Iowa banker.
No matter who you are, there is an Iowa banker who is ready to help you get where you want to go. Iowa Bankers, allowing you to discover the genuine difference of Iowa banks.
For decades, Iowa Press has brought you politicians and newsmakers from across Iowa and beyond. Now celebrating more than 40 years of broadcast excellence on statewide Iowa Public Television. This is the Friday, May 25 edition of Iowa Press. Here is David Yepsen.
When Libertarian presidential candidate Gary Johnson received more than 2% of the Iowa vote in 2016, it paved the way for so-called major party status for the Libertarian Party in Iowa. Under state law, the party can hold official primary elections, including one for governor of Iowa. Joining us at the Iowa Press table today are two candidates seeking the Libertarian Party nomination, Jake Porter of Council Bluffs and Marco Battaglia of Des Moines. Gentlemen, welcome to Iowa Press.
Thanks
it's good to have you with us.
Yeah, great to be here.
Also joining us are Aaron Murphy, Des Moines Bureau Chief for Lee Enterprises, and Kay Henderson is News Director at Radio Iowa.
Mr. Porter, let's start by telling viewers who may not be familiar, what is a libertarian?
Well, libertarians believe that you should be free to live your life as you see fit, so long as you're not harming anyone else. I often say we take the good from the Democrats and Republicans and we toss out the bad. You know, Democrats tend to believe in more personal freedoms but fewer economic freedoms. Republicans tend to believe in more economic freedoms but fewer personal freedoms, and we believe in maximum personal and economic freedoms.
Mr. Battaglia, you're shaking your head. Do you have anything to add?
I do agree with that. I would add political change through nonviolent means, nonviolent communication, no force, people pointing guns at you, just a peaceful means of change.
So, gentlemen, tell us a little bit about yourselves and why you've decided to run for this office. Mr. Porter, introduce yourself to voters.
So, I live over in Council Bluffs. I'm a business consultant. In 2010 and 2014, I was the Libertarian nominee for Iowa Secretary of State. Both times you got over 30,000 votes in those races. Did very well, I think. I served on the Libertarian National Committee as an alternate, and I also have worked as Executive Director of the Libertarian Party of Iowa. So I do business consulting over there, understand politics pretty well, and I've been traveling the state since the last July.
Mr. Battaglia, how about yourself?
Yeah, I never thought I would wind up being a politician. Still don't feel like one. I've worked for over a decade for local, state, and federal political campaigns, and I really just was inspired by getting someone out there and getting a name out there in the race that is not kind of a plutocrat or someone that has been a politician their whole life. Getting an Iowan out there.
So tell us. This is a primary for the party's nomination for governor, and important for the party in that you need 2% of the vote to remain recognized as an official party and remain on the ballot in the next election. So why are each one of you the better candidate to earn that level of support that the party needs, starting with you, Mr. Porter?
Well, you know, I've ran for office before. Both times I got enough votes that we would keep major party status with that, so I've got the experience to do that. I've also got more media coverage. I've been doing this for quite a while now, and the endorsement from the Des Moines Register in the primary the other day. So I think I'm the right candidate to take this message across to Iowa.
How about you, Mr. Battaglia? Why are you the right person to keep this party's flag flying?
I think what we have is organization all throughout the states, and we've had allies throughout the state. That's how I got on the ballot when even some Democrats and Republicans failed in their campaigns to meet that step. Been at different types of gatherings and protests throughout the states. My dad grew up on a farm just across the northern border. And my mom immigrated here from Italy, so I have a lot of different communities that have reached out to me, and it's been great. I think, you know, it's really, there's this wave of people that don't want, you know, your status quo politician, and I am definitely not that.
Let's start talking about some of the issues. Help a libertarian who wants to vote for one of you on the issue of taxes. Mr. Battaglia, what's your position on taxes?
We need to address the tax code immediately, and I actually quite agreed with Ron Corbett when he was in the race on that. Our tax code is not that far off from the absurd tax code of the federal government.
What do you want to do?
My tax plan does call for a phase out of the income tax entirely. This is gradual, and we do add numerous revenue sources before we really can accomplish that.
Mr. Porter, what's your position on tax policy?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is look at the budget. The budget is in crisis right now. The state's, you know, stealing money from the emergency funds every year. It's continual. They have these. They don't project right. And so they end up, what they do is they steal money from the emergency funds, or they do these mid-year budget cuts. So they've already allocated money, and then they're telling departments and agencies that we've got to cut this back. They don't even pay tax refunds on time right now because the money's not in the Treasury. Now, they may lie and say, well, for security reasons, we're withholding your tax refunds. The truth is they don't have the money in the Treasury. The first thing we need to do is to address the spending before we start to get into taxes. I am a fan of eventually phasing out the Iowa sales tax over time, but before we even get to that, I want to address spending first.
Well, let's talk about this. You want to phase out the sales tax, Mr. Porter. Mr. Battaglia, you want to phase out the income tax. What's wrong with the other guy's position here? What are the merits of this? Mr. Porter?
Well, I think, one, to get something to the legislature, you're going to have consensus of both Democrats, Republicans, and Libertarians, and multiple people. And also, when you look at the sales tax, so under my plan, you know, the local option sales tax would stay around. I mean, we cannot undo that. The local government should be able to set their own tax rates as far as that goes. But what we can do is we can phase that out, and we look at who the sales tax, you know, primarily impacts, and that's the poorest Iowans. It creates a lot of problems. It creates problems with people lifting themselves out of poverty because everything that you buy, or pretty much everything you buy with the exception of food, is going to be taxed through the sales tax.
Mr. Battaglia, if you phase out the income tax, you're going to have to go someplace for money, aren't you? Won't you raise the sales tax?
I don't disagree with anything he said. I'm not really a fan of the sales tax either, but I have studied the makeup of the legislature, and that is really why I threw my hat in the ring. I think a lot of our active legislators and people that are running in this cycle want the governor to have a bolder plan. Right now, it's just this incremental phase out where we don't really see the end game of no income tax. We do have an example in the country of New Hampshire that actually has no income tax, no sales tax, so it is an achievable goal, and they still have top-notch education, world-class health care, affordable by the standards of the rest of the country.
Mr. Porter, if you look at the Libertarian Party of Iowa's website, one of your five core goals is to legalize marijuana. Would you tax it? Would it be available in that scenario that you're outlining for recreational use?
Okay. So, first of all, you know, the governor's not a dictator, and so we need to get that understood and make sure that I don't think that I'm going to be dictator on day one. That's something I would have to go through the legislature.
Right.
I would encourage them to, if nothing else, to start out with decriminalization. I don't think we should really be putting people and spending state resources to put people in jail, especially with our prison populations. Over capacity as it is, expected to go up to 142% capacity. Is marijuana something we should really be focused on? I would be in favor of legalizing it and taxing it as well. But like I say, the governor's, that's something that would have to go through the legislature, and that's important that we run more people for legislature and also elect more libertarians for that.
Mr. Battaglia?
Yeah, the time is here to be bold, because I've heard from thousands of Iowans since starting my campaign on this issue, and I personally got in here because I know Iowans. I know a mother that it works wonders for her child to stop his seizures. I know a man that died, you know, while in prison for simply making his own medicine, and other Iowans that have pleaded to me. And what I want to stress is in this state, we need a governor that is passionate on cannabis and hemp, ending those prohibitions. because that's the only way it's going to move. It either has to get signed by the governor, or the appointments that the governor makes are going to have to make those changes to the scheduled items.
Just so I'm clear, you both would favor legalizing marijuana, period. Recreational use and medicinal use.
Yep. My plan is actually, I was happy to see it comparable to one of my proteges from an early age, Dennis Kucinich, who is also running for governor in his state. It was a complete end to prohibition of hemp and cannabis, and also expunged the records of any Iowans that have been charged with nonviolent crimes related to those things.
Gentlemen, in the theme of the Libertarian Party's stance on personal liberties, the National Party's platform says abortion should be decision should be left to the individual. Are we talking about, do libertarians, do each of you believe there should be no regulations on abortion? Should that be the mother's decisions all the way through a pregnancy? Mr. Battaglia?
I have made it clear I agree with the plank. I want to see fewer abortions, but I think the way we get there is sound economics, sound money, lift more Iowans out of poverty, reduce their tax burden, and also education. What I spoke at the Planned Parenthood event, I was the only non-Democrat, and I think a lot of people appreciated that. But yes, I think I want to see fewer abortions. It has to be a choice at the end of the day.
Mr. Porter, no regulations at all on that?
Well, let's first of all define that not all libertarians are going to agree. This is one issue that we do disagree on, and you can make a libertarian argument both ways. Now, the way I look at it, though, is we look at countries like Chile, where this has been done before, where we have had outlaws, prohibitions. They don't work. It's even we had prohibition here in Iowa of abortion. It actually did not decrease the amount of abortions. It led to very unsafe conditions. And when we look at laws like are going on right now, eventually the state of Iowa is going to have to pay somebody else's attorneys whenever this gets shot down in court, which it almost certainly will. So we've got to look at that. And do we want to really investigate every miscarriage that happens? I think abortion is an important moral issue. I think it's something that we should discuss. But the idea that the government's going to step in here and somehow prohibit it and it's just magically going to stop, it's not going to work. It hasn't worked with marijuana. It didn't work with alcohol. It's not going to work with this.
What about gambling? There is now an opportunity for states to offer sports gambling. Mr. Porter, do you think Iowa should legalize sports gambling? And if so, what sort of regulations, what sort of sports? Can we bet on high school teams?
I don't know about betting on high school teams, but... there are, I think we should go ahead and legalize, because it's going to happen anyway. It is happening. We can go ahead and legalize that. Now, we also have to realize that I think gambling is something that's not a good idea to do. I personally would not do it, and I would not be in support of people doing it. But if they're going to, I don't think the state should necessarily tell them no.
And tax it?
Yeah, we could tax it, yes.
Mr. Battaglia?
I do agree with some people from all over the political spectrum on we need to have funds to help people that are suffering from the MCO situation, from the mental health situation. We need more spending there, and we're not going to be able to do that if we don't find new innovative ways to bring in revenue. Supreme Court, I was so happy. I've actually been happy with a lot of things they've been doing lately, and they're leaving this up to the states. So I think we need to jump on quickly. My platform calls for allowing for sports betting and also online poker. I have friends that have made livings through online poker, and I get these arguments on the trail of a poor tax or something of that nature. And to me, the state lotto or the slot machine is a lot more of a poor tax than actual sports betting or online poker. These things already happen. Look at the amount of money people spend on, like, the Super Bowl. This is insane amount of revenue that most people can agree with.
How about on gun regulations? If I read the national platform correctly, it sounds like the party is against basically any type of restriction on the Second Amendment. Does that include, am I understanding right, no need for permits, background checks, any of that kind of thing? Where do each of you fall on what are reasonable firearm restrictions?
Where I stand on that is if we want to reduce gun violence, we need to rein in the war on drugs now. I don't see active legislation that is going on in Iowa that is going to stop any of these tragedies that have been happening. What this legislation is going to do is keep guns from people that don't have the means to do this kind of horrible
And does that event. Include other things already on the books? Like, do you feel there's no need for requiring a permit to carry a weapon?
I honestly think that we're doing positive things in terms of that area. That's one area where I agree with the governor on moving towards more freedom, concealed carry, even constitutional carry. I really think if our goal is safety and reducing gun violence, there are things we can do that move away from some of the failed attempts at gun control.
Mr. Porter, where do you fall on this?
Well, so to kind of address that, no, I don't support more gun laws, but at the same time, there are certain circumstances or instances where people should not be allowed to carry guns. And this, for example, those convicted of domestic assault, domestic violence, they should not be allowed to, obviously, for obvious reasons. And that brings up another issue, too, of a lot of these crimes are either not reported or never prosecuted. And a lot of times we're finding out they're just not being prosecuted. And so that's another issue. But definitely making sure that if you've used a gun or have violently taken action against your neighbor or someone else, that you should not be allowed to.
But otherwise, other restrictions, other things the Second Amendment should do with?
No, I would not support additional legislation, no.
If I may add, I have met with law enforcement throughout the state, and a reoccurring thing that they've told me is the gun, it is a problem. They're running into guns on the street, but these are guns with the serial number scratched off. These are guns from straw buyers. These are guns that have been stolen from people's houses. So if we really, making sure people secure their guns and gun safety is a priority.
The okay. National platform emphasizes choice in education. Mr. Porter, if you were governor, would you sign a law establishing what's essentially a voucher system for K-12 education?
No, I would not. I'd take a look at what I would like to do in education is I'd like to make sure that we have open enrollment that way, because a lot of our rural schools, we're not going to see a lot of private schools open up. These are not very much population in a lot of these communities. I would like to see, make sure open enrollment stays and where people can send their kids to whatever school they can. And I would also like to have more local control over education, so the local school board, as opposed to the state or federal government making a lot of requirements on education.
Mr. Pattaya?
Yeah, I have a teacher on my team, a special education teacher from Woodward Granger. I'm thrilled to have his input. I don't think that vouchers are ideal, but I do really think I have a problem and would really go with a fine-tooth comb over any legislation related to education, because I feel like we're almost pitting homeschooling, private charter schooling, and public education against each other. I don't want to see those kind of funds mingle. I don't want Iowans to see any of those pass as not viable if that's what they choose. We've seen great people come out of all three or four of those things.
There is a raft of state laws that require students to have vaccines before they enter school. Do you support those laws?
I think anything that the state is going to do, if there's harm involved, it has to be a choice. I wouldn't support any kind of mandatory
immunizations.
Even if it's as simple as a bruise on your arm, I believe it has to be a choice. It has to be voluntary. I'm not against a parent choosing, whichever path they want to choose. I just think, like I saw the Secretary of State, I saw the Lieutenant Governor advertising flu shots on his social media, and I don't think that's the government's place.
Well, so, I think that I don't think there's anything wrong with vaccines, but I think it's more of an educational thing that we should educate people a little bit better rather than hoping at the state, because people are not going to follow what the state tells them a lot of times. So I don't think that's the solution. I think better education will be the solution for that.
But Mr. Battaglia, if I have my child in a public school and someone with your point of view doesn't want to get your child inoculated, isn't your child now exposing a whole bunch of other kids to a healthcare problem? I mean, doesn't government have something to do with public safety and public health and well-being?
I want to leave that up to people's doctors and to local control. I mean, if the school, if the parents that send their kids to school decide that, that's different than the state mandating that you have to do this.
Mr. Porter, your child has a right to make mine sick.
No, absolutely not. But
right. if you say it's optional whether you're going to have immunizations.
What happens if that kid cannot have an immunization? What happens if it puts them at risk?
That's different. That's a medical condition. That's
a medical condition, but they're still going to school with your kid.
Right. But there is a difference between someone with a medical condition and someone who decides, well, we don't want to do immunization. We don't want to immunize.
But who decides that? If we're going to have government separated where they're not getting involved between the patient and the doctor, who makes that decision?
Well, who would? I mean, we take a majority vote of people in the classroom and decide everybody gets a vaccination or they don't?
Well, why not decide this at the local level? Why not let the school board decide?
I would argue that take a look at the campaigns of all the recognized political parties in Iowa, and that we have the most pro-science campaign platform out of any of the parties. It's not so much that we disagree with all of the arguments on vaccinization of either camp or any camp. It's more as simple as that. If there's, it's the same that doctors used to take an oath. If there's harm, it's a choice.
Here, move on, gentlemen. Ask you about eminent domain. It's been used here in Iowa in some high-profile instances regarding energy transmission lines and oil pipeline. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the libertarian view in general is to push back against the use of eminent domain. Is there, if that's the case, are there instances where the use of eminent domain by government is acceptable? Mr. Porter?
Yeah, there certainly is, and I can think of one, and that's where your property is causing harm to other people. So if you have an old building, for example, that's crumbling down, that's very unsafe, that's causing problems for your neighbors, that would be a case for eminent domain, obviously. Things like we've seen with the pipeline, where we're using eminent domain to take someone's land or their rights to their land to give to a private corporation so they can make a profit, or like we've saw in other states where we're taking someone's private land so a developer can build something that they can make even more money off of, regardless of what you're going to do with it, that's something wrong.
Mr. Vitale, was the use of eminent domain wrong in that case with the pipeline?
I think so. And another, the appointments that someone like a governor makes, nepotism, cronyism runs rampant, and corruption in Iowa. I want to take these things on. I want boards and appointments that they're definitely deserve the position they're going to be given, but we need more balance, not three people that agree. And I actually think us as a country and a state need to review eminent domain and move it more towards the individual, supporting the individual over the corporation. I actually protested with the Tweedies on their land in regards to the pipeline. Was on the front lines there, and also agreed with the Cleverleys on their eminent domain situation. So I've been on the front lines. I think we can move it a lot more towards protecting the property owner.
We haven't much time left, but I do want to ask you about an issue that a Republican who's libertarian-leaning, Rand Paul, has talked about nationally, the need to reform laws which prevent felons from voting. What do you think Iowa law should be in regards to felon voting rights? Mr. Porter?
Well, this is actually the first thing I said on day one that I would do as governor was sign an executive order restoring voting rights to anyone that has served their time, paid for their crime. I think it's very sad that we have about 25,000 Iowans that cannot get their voting rights restored, people that want to get back into society, but they cannot because we've created a bureaucratic process that's almost next to impossible to get through, and maybe a couple hundred people have actually had their voting rights restored. So I think that's a real shame, and it's not very Iowanize, and it doesn't follow the state motto to do that.
Mr. Battaglia, you're shaking your head again.
I agree wholeheartedly. Door knocking, this comes up a lot. These are people that can't sign your petition, that can't vote for you, but want to. I mean, they're some of the most enthused people that someone's taking this on. Me and my running mate, Farrica Robertson, criminal justice reform, civil justice reform. I think this can be a tripartisan issue. A lot of principled Democrats and principled Republicans can agree. I would say 100% of libertarians can agree.
We've got just a little bit of time left. I want to ask some political questions. We have two libertarian members sitting here running for governor. There's only about another dozen candidates in the party for the other 125 legislative seats and other statewide offices. What needs to be done here? Why has there not been more party building to have more candidates running for office now that you're on the ballot? Mr. Vitale.
Yeah. What happened is we've been working every cycle since 1971 as a party to earn every debate access, every access to the polls, every access to the ballot. The kind of the polls is the last hurdle. If they put us in the polls, I think you'll have libertarians winning left and right.
Mr. Porter?
Yeah, a lot of times there's been a lot of change, obviously, with the party. We are going to be announcing more candidates, and we've got the special conventions where we can announce more candidates and run more candidates. A lot of it's been a lot of party building. We had to get the caucuses prepared for. We had to get, we obviously want to make sure that we keep major party status. A lot of work's going into this race. And then we're going to run more. We're going to run people, you know, city council may not be partisan, but we're putting people in there. They do very well whenever they're in there, and then they can run for higher office.
You've got less than a minute. Give me your best soundbite, Mr. Battaglia. What's the most important thing you want to libertarian to remember about you?
Right now, hemp and cannabis freedom for everyone in Iowa, people that want to use that as medicine, they need that, and also reduce the tax burden for all Iowans, not just rich or poor, all Iowans.
Mr. Porter?
I've got the experience. I've done this before. I can keep the major party status. I can get the media. I'm endorsed by the Des Moines Register and in this primary, so I think that I'm the best choice to take this message to the people of Iowa and keep doing that and keep our major party status.
Thank you both for being with us.
Thanks so much for having us. This is a great opportunity. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. We'll be back with another edition of Iowa Press next week. On the eve of the 2018 primary elections, we'll sit down with polling expert Ann Seltzer. So join us for Iowa Press 7:30 Friday night and noon on Sunday on IPTV's main channel with a rebroadcast Saturday morning on IPTV World. For all of us here at Iowa Public Television, I'm David Yepsen, and thanks for joining us today.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation, the Associated General Contractors of Iowa, the public's partner in building Iowa's highway, bridge, and municipal utility infrastructure.
I'm a dad.
I am a mom.
I'm a kid.
I'm a kid at heart. I'm a banker.
I'm an Iowa banker.
No matter who you are, there is an Iowa banker who is ready to help you get where you want to go. Iowa Bankers, allowing you to discover the genuine difference of Iowa banks.